ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाचलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नेयां सोबिष्यते तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधरा त्वत्पदायरङ्किता भाति स्वलक्षणा विलक्षिताय। ओ गदाधर कृष्ण, आवर किंगडम इज नाउ बीइंग मार्क्ड by the impressions of your lotus feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others, the marks of a flag, thunderbolt, and instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc., are on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. This verse is from the 8th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of speaking from this verse. The Pandavas endured tremendous persecution, tribulation, and the one that suffered the most was Kunti Devi, because a devotee is paradukha dukhi. Their greatest suffering is to see the sufferings of others. A mother has natural love for her children. Seeing the atrocities committed against her children, including being put in the house of lac which was burned to kill them, banished to the forest for many long years, feeding poison. Then there was the great battle of Kurukshetra, where her grandchild, where there was death of her relatives and loved ones. In the end, Krishna arranged for the coronation of the Pandavas to be the kings. The sorrows, the tribulations were gone. The Pandavas were victorious. They had reign over the entire world. After this glorious coronation ceremony, Krishna took leave. Queen Kunti approached him on chariot and spoke this verse, that now I feel real suffering is to begin. Because through all of our calamities, we remembered you. And wherever you are, there is certain to be auspiciousness. Because your lotus feet are traversing upon the kingdom of Hastinapur, it is all auspicious. It is full of all opulences and fortune. But when your lotus feet leave, we fear all those opulences will be gone. Real opulence is Krishna. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dunordana, Tatra Sri Vajayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nithir Mathira Mama. Sanjay ended Bhagavad Gita with this sloka. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, wherever there is Arjuna, the great warrior, there is certain to be victory, opulence, morality, and extraordinary power. This is my conclusion. This verse was spoken by Sanjay to Dhritarashtra just before the battle of Kurukshetra was to be fought. In speaking this verse, he is assuring Dhritarashtra that his sons will be vanquished. They may have been outnumbered. The great, unconquerable, deathless Bhishma may have been their commander-in-chief. Duryodhana, the very military guru of Pandavas, were fighting on their side. But Dhritarashtra was being informed indirectly that they would inevitably be defeated. Because wherever there is Krishna, there is real opulence and victory. Lakshmi Devi is the goddess of fortune. And actually, she only resides one place, with the Supreme Lord Vishnu. She resides on his chest, but where she likes to perform her service is at his lotus feet. She is eternally serving the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Without the worship of Lord Narayan, without being honestly faithful to the will of Lord Narayan, Lakshmi will never be. Those who try to attract Lakshmi by various other means actually attract her expansion of Durga Devi, the goddess of material energy. And she has her trident representing the threefold miseries to make sure whatever fortune you have, you'll never be happy. If we analyze material life, however much wealth, fame, power, position, nice family, good health. These are all gifts of Durga. But along with it is her trident. Ariyatmaka, Aridaivaka, Aribhautaka. Miseries caused by other living beings, miseries caused by one's own body, mind, and miseries caused by the supernatural forces of nature. Who can escape? Thus, if we want Lakshmi Devi, we have to be situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, because that is where she eternally resides. Srila Prabhupada gives example in the Battle of Sri Lanka, which was previous to Kurukshetra. Ravana and his Rakshasa forces were formidable. They had the best modern weapons. They had incredible mystic powers and trained in military sciences. And Lord Ram's army was the Vanaras, the monkeys. There were many, but there were no weapons. They would just pick up trees and throw them, or pick up rocks and throw them, or fight with their fists or their nails or their teeth. What chance did they have? However, because they had Ram, they were 100% certain of victory. Just like there is this battle going on in Afghanistan. What chance do they have? The United States of America, they have been building their arsenal of high technological weapons for decades. They're going into that country with the most sophisticated jets and computerized bombs and missiles. And they're armed with the high-precision rifles. And these people, they just have what, from years ago, what they stole from the Russians. What chance? There's these supersonic jets that can go, Prabhupada says, thousands of miles an hour. They go really fast, beyond radar, and they're just, and these poor people with their turbans, they're like, they're being destroyed. Just one after another. And just like the Rakshasas in the Bhagavatam, they all say to Krishna that we will feed you to the jackals when your body is laying in a pool of blood. Everyone has their big, big threats. This is the nature of Kshatriyas. They claim, we're going to defeat you. You're just a nonsense. You're just a rascal. You're just a demon. You're just godless. They say that to Krishna. They say he's godless. He's God. That's what Pandraka said when he challenged him to fight. So can you imagine these little people with turbans with their little guns? What chance do they have? But if they had Krishna on their side, they would be victorious. They wouldn't even need their little Russian guns. If all they had was stones to throw at those airplanes, they would win. They have to win. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Wherever there's Krishna, there must be victory. Wherever there's Krishna, there must be opulence and fortune. This is devotee's faith. As long as we know we're pleasing Krishna, we have nothing to fear. Krishna told Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. Why? Because they are always situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. And those lotus feet impregnate the heart with immortality. The soul is eternal. Na jayate mriyate vakada chindayan bhuta bhavita vana buddha. Cannot be destroyed by any weapon, by any means. One who is Krishna conscious realizes one's eternal nature and one's eternal relationship with Krishna, and nothing and no one can take that away. Krishna promises he will always protect his devotee. Bajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare durlabha manava cha namasat sange taraha eva bhosindare. My dear mind, please worship the son of Nanda Maharaj, because by taking shelter of him, of his lotus feet, one becomes fearless. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There is danger at every step in this world. But one who always remembers the lotus feet of Krishna is guaranteed all auspiciousness at all times. Whatever may happen on this relative level of existence, Krishna will always keep you. In life or death, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let me simply remember you. Everyone has to die. But Krishna tells us, antakali chamameva smanan matva kalevaram. If you remember me at the time of death, you will attain me without fail. So there is no death for a devotee. There is only eternal love. This is Krishna consciousness. Queen Kunti considers the only real opulence the lotus footprints of Krishna. We cannot imagine what Hastinapur looked like. The royalty, the extravagance. Today's New Delhi is nothing in comparison. Hastinapur was the capital of the planet Earth. When Maharaj Yudhisthira performed his Rajasuya Yajna, he had to get literally tons of gold to utilize for that sacrifice. And he did it. What was the wealth? What sort of armies? But Kunti was saying, the only opulence of this place is your lotus feet. And when those feet leave this place, we have nothing. That is the prayer of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sunyayatam jagat sarabham govinda virahiname. Without the presence of Govinda, this entire universal creation is nothing but a horrible, dreary void. And you cannot fill up that void by anything. You can get nice houses and nice stereos, and you can get nice televisions, and you can get nice clothes, and you can get nice food. People are trying to fill the void, the boredom, the frustration in life with all of these alternatives. But they cannot solve the problem. Because the need is in the soul. And nothing material can touch the soul. Only bhakti, devotion to Krishna. Because where there is bhakti, there is the lotus feet of the Lord. Kunti Devi is talking about Krishna's footprints. Krishna's footprints means the presence of Krishna. Tatra tishtami Narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. Krishna told Narada Muni, "You will not find me in Vaikuntha. You will not find me with the sages and the rishis in their meditation. You will not find me in the academic institutions where people are studying Vedas. You will find me always, wherever and whenever my pure devotees are chanting my holy names." Srila Prabhupada explains what is a pure devotee. According to Sri Rupa Goswami, anyabhilashita sunyam jnana kamanya navratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutam. One who is serving Krishna in a favorable way for the pleasure of Krishna, and whose devotional service is free of desire for liberation or desire for material acquisition. One who is beyond all these material designations, that is a pure devotee. That is pure devotional service. Wherever the pure devotee is remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, and rendering loving service to Krishna, Krishna is there. Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshi. He guarantees, "You just remember me, worship me, become my devotee, offer your respects to me. And it is my promise you will come to me without fail." Krishna is not different than his lotus feet. And similarly, his lotus feet are not different than his name, than his glories, than his beautiful form in the temple. And wherever the pure devotee is worshipping the Lord, Krishna is there. Srila Prabhupada explains in a way that gives us great hope. Please listen carefully. He talks about two types of pure devotion. One is anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navritam. A person who is so pure, there's not a tinge of desire for material sense gratification or liberation in his heart. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sadurlabha prasantatma koteshwapi mahamani. Such a soul is so rare. He simply wants to please Krishna. Whether he's in heaven or whether he's in hell makes no difference. If he could remember Krishna, offer service to Krishna. But there's another type of pure devotion. One who desires to attain that state. One who is chanting the holy name with a sincere desire to attain that state of pure devotion. That is also a type of pure devotion. And where that sincerity is present within a devotee's heart, Krishna is present. When these two types of pure devotees gather together to chant the holy names of the Lord, Krishna incarnates within his name in such a wonderful way that he fills everyone's heart with his causeless, infinite mercy. Therefore, Bhagavad says, those who have sumedasha, good intelligence, they will worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali through Harinam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names. Mahaprabhu has said, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. All your power, your opulences, your pastimes, they are all within your name. If we sincerely desire pure devotion, how Krishna will manifest and protect that devotee? Such pure devotees, they are above and beyond all the considerations of this relative world. That is called Vaishnava. We find Srila Haridas Thakur. He was born in a family of Yavanas. And sometimes scholars who study the Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures, they call him Yavana Haridas. But the devotees don't call him Yavana Haridas. Not Yavana Haridas. They call him Namacharya Haridas. Because he was always chanting the holy name. Such a Vaishnav he was. When Srila Haridas Thakur was living in Puri, he never attempted to go into the temple of Lord Jagannath because he didn't want to create unrest. It is the custom and the tradition of that temple for a long time that people who are not born in proper Hindu families are not given entrance to that temple. Although previously Sri Advaitacharya, while living in Shantipur, honored Srila Haridas Thakur in the presence of the greatest of Brahmins to be the greatest of Brahmins. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Haridas Thakur to be trillions of times greater than a Brahman because he was anyavilashita sunyam jnanakamanyanata anukulyena krishnanu shilaram bhaktaruttama. He was a pure unalloyed devotee of Krishna, constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Whatever dangers came in his life did not affect him. He did not try to make any arrangement. He simply took shelter of the holy name. And Krishna always protected him. the life of Haridas Thakur is full of great threats to his life. When that prostitute was sent by Ramchandra Khan, the intention was, if he took one move to approach her for sense gratification, which he considered would be inevitable, then he was going to have his military grab him, beat him, torture him, and imprison him. That was the plan. So the prostitute comes. Haridas knows. If he makes one move toward him, he's dead. He could have ran away. What did he do? He simply took shelter of the chanting of the holy names. Krishna promises he protects his devotee. How he protected him? She became a devotee because she was associating with him. Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was beaten in the 22 marketplaces, he simply took shelter of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally descended to Vaikuntha to cover his body, Haridas's body, with his own to protect him. Such a great soul. But yet, he was so humble. He never attempted to go into Jagannath's temple because he considered himself unfit. He didn't try to disguise himself and sneak in. He simply considered that I am too fallen. I have no right. And beside that, why should I cause anyone any anxiety? So he was content just sitting in his little kutir chanting the holy names. Krishna promises that he's always present where his devotees chanting. Prabhupada loved to tell this story. How Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Jagannath himself, every single day would come out of the temple to Haridas Thakur's kutir and spend hours in his association. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Jagannath himself, Swami, Rupa Goswami, when they came to Puri, they never attempted to go in the temple because of their humility. They were actually Saraswat Brahmins, very prestigious, great scholars, pure Vaishnavas. But because they served lower class people, they categorize themselves as outcasts. When Ballabha Bhattacharya came to embrace Rupa Goswami, he ran away. He said, "Don't touch me. I'm unfit. I'm untouchable. I'm contaminated. You're a great Brahmin. Please don't touch me." Vallabhacharya, seeing Rupa Goswami's devotion, seeing his love, hearing his beautiful prayers, he wanted to embrace him. But Rupa Goswami ran away. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Actually, you know, he's
He glorified Rupa Goswami in a very, very special way. This is humility of a Vaishnava. So they would not go in the temple of Jagannath because they considered themselves unfit. In this sense, Srila Prabhupada quotes Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, "I am lower than a worm in stool, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, they lose their piety. If anyone speaks my name, they become sinful." If we want to actually chant the holy names, this type of humility is essential. Thus, Kaviraj Goswami instructed us to take the holy name of the Lord as a string and wear the most precious instruction always upon our heart. Trinanapi sunichena tarorapi sihishnaya amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this state of mind, we're actually Vaishnava. In this state of mind, we're only aspiring for pure devotional service. In this state of mind, Krishna will manifest himself in the holy name and empower us to chant constantly. That is real opulence, to be amongst the devotees when they're hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That is where you will find real wealth, not in the Bombay Stock Exchange. There's a beautiful story Prabhupada tells of a Vaishnava who truly understood the value of other Vaishnavas. His name was Kalidas. Kalidas happened to be a family relative of Raghunath Das Goswami. He was a very rich man, and he was very aristocratic as far as his position in society. Even in his old age, he had one goal in life: to get the food remnants and the dust from the feet of devotees. He went through great efforts to do that, because he considered it the greatest opulence. Kalidas, he would go to respectful Brahmins' houses and deliver them very, very nice prasad and offer his obeisances, worship them, and then he would ask for their remnants. Some of them, as Brahmins, they would give their remnants to him. If they were Vaishnavas, he wouldn't go unless they were Vaishnavas. Others, they would say, "No, no, I cannot give my remnants to you." So Kalidas, in his own humble and respectful way, he would never take no for an answer. He would hide until they finished. And he would always have something in that prasad that was like a seed or a mango or a peel, something that had to be thrown out. And when they would throw it out in the garbage pit, he would come at night when no one would see him, and he would relish eating that. He traveled all over Bengal doing this. He even went to the outcasts. There was one very, very great Vaishnava. Well, he was born in a family of street sweepers. He was an outcast by material designation. His name was Jadu Thakur. So Kalidas came and he had very ripe, delicious mangoes wrapped up in banana leaves, banana bark. He went to the house of Jadu Thakur and he offered obeisances. Jadu Thakur offered his obeisances along with his wife. Kalidas offered obeisances to his wife. He was just offering his obeisances to any Vaishnavi. He saw them as worshipable as Krishna himself. Jadu Thakur, he said, "You are such a respectable person. You have come to my house." He said, I can't cook for you because I'm an outcast, but I can arrange bhoga to be given to a Brahmin and he can cook for you." Kalidas said that, no, I have come to give you these mangoes. I have come to serve you." Jadu Thakur said, "Please, you are a very, very respectable, wealthy person. I'm an outcast. How can you say these things?" "How can I serve you?" Jadu Thakur said. "Please let me serve you." Kalidas said, "Yes, I will tell you how you can serve me. Place your lotus feet on my head so I could get that sacred dust." "Ah, what are you saying? I'm from a low caste. I'm a street sweeper. You're a distinguished high birth personality. You're learned, you're famous, you're wealthy. Who am I? I'm untouchable, I'm unseeable." Kalidas began to cite beautiful slokas from various scriptures, describing how a Vaishnav is above the Varnashram. "Aho bata swapucho thogariyam yavchjivakri bharatate nama tupyam." It said that if a Brahmin who is decorated with all the 12 qualities of a Brahmin is not a devotee taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord, he cannot deliver himself, nor could he deliver any of his family members. However, if one is attached to chanting the holy names, even if he is born in a family of chandalas, the lowest birth of untouchable dog eaters, that person, through chanting the holy name, is to considered to have already studied all the Vedas, bathed in all the holy rivers, performed all sorts of sacrifices, all sorts of charity, gone to all holy places. That person has the power of delivering the whole world. That is the glory of the holy name. And one who takes shelter of the holy name is a Vaishnava. Jadu Thakur was very happy to hear these slokas. But he said, "This is very true what you are speaking, but it does not apply to me. I'm an outcast, I'm lowborn, I'm sinful, and I'm not a Vaishnava. There is not even a single pinch of devotion to Krishna within my heart. They spoke for some time. Then Kalidas asked his permission to continue his journey. So Jadu Thakur, as a very, very cordial and affectionate host, he walked a long distance with Kalidas to see him to the road. Kalidas insisted, "Jadu Thakur, now you should go home." So when he turned his back and walked down the road some, well, where do you think the destination of Kalidas was? The ground. He started searching the ground, and he happened to find some imprints of Jadu Thakur's feet in the dust. And with the ecstasy of love in his heart, he began to smear his body with the dust of the lotus feet, considering it to be Abhishekam, the greatest bath. But he didn't end there. He hid and waited. Jadu Thakur, his wife, arranged the mangoes very nicely, and he ate mangoes. And after serving husband, the wife ate mangoes. After all mangoes were eaten, very, very happily, she took the same banana leaves he gave that they ate off, and she wrapped up the skins and the seeds of those mangoes and took them outside and threw them in the ditch where the garbage was discarded. When no one was around to see, Jadu Thakur came to that place. He sucked those seeds. He sucked those peels with ecstatic love, tears flowing from his eyes. Through this process, he took the food remnants of every Vaishnava in Bengal. Hare Krishna. Then he came to Puri. Lord Chaitanya knew how much he had faith in devotees. So he gave him a benediction that was most rare. When Lord Chaitanya would enter into Jagannath's temple through the Singhadwaram, there are 22 steps, and then there's a ditch. And in that ditch, Govinda, his servant, would carry a water pot and wash Lord Chaitanya's feet. And because Lord Chaitanya was demonstrating the principle of genuine humility, he would never allow anyone to touch that water. It was forbidden. No one dared, except some of his most intimate associates would secretly get some drops. On this day, as Govinda was washing his feet, Kalidas appeared with such eagerness to taste the nectar of that Charanamrit. With his palm, he caught a full handful of water just as it came off his feet and drank it right before the lotus eyes of Lord Gaurasundar. He took a second handful of water as it was pouring right off of his feet and drank it. Third handful. Lord Chaitanya said, "Do not continue this. It is impossible for me to fulfill your desire more than I already have." such mercy. But that wasn't all. Lord Chaitanya was taken after Mahaprabhu went to see Narasimhadev and Jagannath. He went to Gambira to take his prasad. And as he was taking prasad, Lord Chaitanya happened to see Kalidas, just looking in, waiting for some remnants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the entire plate of all of his remnants and told Govinda, give this to Kalidas. Because Kalidas had faith in Vaishnavas. He had great faith in these three powerful substances. The dust of the feet of the devotees, the water that washes the feet of the devotees, and the remnants of food that the devotees eat. These three substances are Mahabala, greatly powerful. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, by all means, one should seek out these three very, very powerful forms of mercy. Of course, it should be done like Kalidas, without offending anyone, without disturbing or hurting someone's heart. He did it very, very graciously. That is Vaishnav culture. How is it that the feet of a devotee is so sacred? We sing every morning, Bande Guru, Bande Gurusri Charanaravindam. We worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Bansha kalpatarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanim vaishnavet. We bow down to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. What is it that makes the dust of the feet of a Vaishnava so powerful? It is their connection to the lotus feet of Krishna. It is actually the dust of Krishna's lotus feet that manifests through the lotus feet of a devotee due to that devotee's intimate association with Krishna. Krishna Suryasa Maya Hoya Andhakar. That Maya is like darkness, Krishna is like the sun. The presence of Krishna dispels all the ignorance and illusions that are the cause of all suffering and pain. Thus, real intelligence is to always be in the presence of Krishna. Kalidas was constantly chanting Krishna's name. Even when he was performing his regular practical duties, even when he was performing some entertainment, he was always chanting the holy names from the core of his heart. These two principles are most essential. Kalidas embodied them. Chanting of the holy names, respecting, honoring, and serving devotees, and showing compassion to the fallen conditioned souls by giving them Krishna. In Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami tells a very beautiful story about the glories of Krishna's lotus feet and the power of the mercy of his lotus feet. Two parrots, Shuka and Sari, were sitting together on the branch of a very big kalpavriksha tree. Shuka said to Sari, did you know that today is very special, auspicious day. And Sari said, oh, it must, what makes things auspicious? When Krishna, you're saying everything's always auspicious in Vrindavan, but why is this a special auspicious day? Is it the way Krishna is dressed? Is it that he's playing his flute? Is it that he's awakening unlimited ecstatic love in the hearts of his devotees? Yes, those things may be there, but today is very special for another reason. What is it? What is it? I said, I will show you. Sukha leaned forward and fell upside down. Sari leaned forward and fell upside down. They were both hanging upside down from this branch. He said, look, what am I supposed to see? Krishna's footprints. Ah, Krishna's footprints. But Krishna's footprints are always everywhere in Vrindavan. Why is this so special? I said, can't you see? Look at his footprint. Krishna played his flute and made everyone dance. Gopis were dancing. Gopas were dancing. The cows were dancing. The trees, the leaves, the creepers, the grass, everyone was dancing. And seeing all of his devotees dancing so happily, Krishna began to dance. You see the footprint? It's a dancing Krishna footprint. The front part of his foot is impressed very deep, and the rear part of his foot is very, very light, almost invisible. This means it's Krishna's dancing footprint. Oh, Sari said, this is very, very auspicious. Can you tell me the glories of Krishna's feet? That what makes it most auspicious is that it is covered by the dust of his lotus feet. And the great sages and rishis, they glorify that dust. The nature of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. It is like the pollen of a lotus flower. The nature of pollen is it travels in the air. The dust of Krishna's golden lotus feet has a golden color. And it is filled with prema, with pure attraction for him, with pure love for him. And wherever that lotus foot dust, whenever it enters a heart, just like the pollen of a flower, wherever it goes, another flower grows. Similarly, when that dust enters the heart, pure love of God begins to grow. That is the glory of Krishna's lotus feet. That is the glory of the dust of his feet. Upon hearing the glory of the mercy of Krishna's dust, they began to weep and cry, and they became paralyzed in ecstasy, hanging upside down, looking at the feet. Torrents of tears were flowing from these two parrots' eyes, and they filled up the footprint of Krishna with the mixed love of their tears. And then a little insect happened to fall in that footprint. And immediately, he assumed a four-arm form and ascended to Vaikuntha. Round the way, he offered his respectful obeisances to his two spiritual masters, the parrots. And Sanatana Goswami explains, the parrots were very happy and struck with wonder, glorifying the real opulence of Vrindavan, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada, he acclaims on the authority of the scriptures and the acharyas that wherever the devotees who are pure in heart, or who are sincerely and honestly aspiring to become pure in heart, sincerely striving to be free from the desire for sense enjoyment and liberation. When they come together to chant the holy names, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet sprinkle in everyone's heart and awaken pure devotional service. The greatest wealth, the ultimate treasure in all of existence. Srila Prabhupada explained that is the exclusive purpose of these temples. To induce people to love Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. How? By always remembering him, by hearing his most extraordinary, munificent glories, by serving his devotees, by chanting his holy names. When a devotee is decorated with this eager enthusiasm to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and serve the Vaishnavas, that makes the devotee beautiful. These qualities are the real ornaments that a sadhu wears. Tatikshava karuna kasurada sarvabhutanam ajata sutrava santa sarva sadhu bhushanam. These are the ornaments of a sadhu. Tolerance, forgiveness, friendliness to all, peacefulness, complete absorption in Krishna. It is said, for one who takes shelter of Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods and the rishis and the sages manifest in that person. Because he becomes Krishna-ized. Srila Prabhupada used that term, Krishna-ized. We become filled with the mercy, with the glories of Krishna. Thus, of all the rules and regulations, of all the philosophical explanations in the Vedas, they are all meant to bring us to the platform of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. In the age of Kali, it is made easy. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalonas, Devanas, Devanas, Deva Gatiranyata. So we come together in these temples to associate with devotees who are philosophically and practically convinced that there is no other goal in life except pure, unalloyed devotion to Krishna. That there is no other real reason to live except to surrender to Krishna. Without that, everything is an illusion. Sincere and honest devotees should intentionally, through their sadhana and their bhajan, try to cultivate the mood that Mahaprabhu has taught us in Shikshastakam. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. That bereft of the beautiful darshan of Govinda, all of material creation is a dreary, horrible void. We are not attracted to Indraloka, what to speak the things of this material world. We may have these attractions due to our previous conditionings, but we have no faith in them. We have to somehow deal with them in such a way that we can increase our faith in this principle, sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahinam. The whole world is a void without Govinda. This is Queen Kunti's message in this verse. Govinda sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahinam. Krishna, Govinda, bereft of your presence, this whole kingdom, and which is the world itself, is one big dreary void. Krishna may have left Hastinapur, but his lotus footprints always remained within the core of the heart of Kunti and the Pandavas. That is the goal of life, to always remember Krishna. Coming together on Sunday before the beautiful forms of Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Radha Rasbihari, Sri Radha Giridhari, whichever temple, is very essential. But the most essential and glorious benediction that we are longing for and willing to sacrifice anything for is the association of those devotees who are philosophically convinced. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahinamay. That without Govinda, the world is a horrible void. The mundane rasas of sense gratification are poison to the heart. But bhakti ras, the ras of pure devotional service, is amrita, it is nectar. So we come together to beg for that. Like the chatak bird. Chatak bird, he sees there's water everywhere. There's ponds and lakes and rivers and wells and so many faucets running. He will not take a drop. Even in the summer season, when there's not a cloud in the sky, that chatak bird will just keep looking up or waiting for that cloud. Waiting for months. And then the cloud appears. And that chatak bird is just waiting for a drop to come. Rupa Goswami explains a devotee is like a chataka bird. If the cloud sends a thunderbolt on his head, he will still not turn away from it, waiting eagerly for that drop of mercy. That is Rupa Goswami's definition of a real Vaishnava. There is the Chakora bird. The Chakora bird, he fixes his whole attention on the light of the moon. Just waits for that light of the moon. And when it's shining, will not look anywhere else. No other beautiful sight of this world can charm him. He's captivated by the beautiful moonlight. In the same way, a devotee is always eager to be attracted to Sri Vrindavan Chandra, the moon of Vrindavan. Will not let his, every time, yato yato nishtalati manas chanchanamashtanam. The mind is chanchalam, it is very unsteady, it is very formidable in its mischievous nature. It wants to run here, there, and everywhere. But like the Chakora bird, it just keeps bringing the mind back to Sri Vrindavan Chandra. that moonlight of the rays of Krishna's mercy can soothe all of the burning pains of material attachment. And there is the swan. The swan will only eat the buds of the lotus flower or the stems of the lotus flower. Crows, they like garbage, but you'll never see swans in a garbage dump. And you'll never see crows eating lotus stems. Materialistic people that find pleasure in materialistic subject matter are like crows. But devotees are swans. They are not interested in mundane music, mundane entertainment, mundane sense enjoyment, mundane fame and recognition. They're interested in devotional service. Then there is the Rajahamsa. Rajahamsa, he can actually separate milk from water. Devotee is like that. He discriminates. What is Krishna? What is favorable for Krishna consciousness? He accepts. What is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness? Rejects. So we come to this temple to cultivate these pure feelings. Srila Prabhupada said, one moon is greater than a whole sky full of stars. There are so many religions and so many teachers who are teaching some piety, some charity, some philosophy by which you can better your material life, by which you can help better cope with the stress of the world. By which you can improve the morality of your family and get along better. By which you can become more successful in your business, attain more money, get good husband, get good wife, marry your children to the right people. Many people go to the churches, the synagogues, the masjids, the temples for these purposes. And there are libraries of books to teach you how to approach God or the demigods for these things. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his disciplic succession is special because there's one purpose: to raise people's consciousness to the point where they firmly believe in the core of their hearts, Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govindavirahename. Without Krishna, the whole world's a void. Unless we have this faith, we will not long for Krishna. We will not have the determination or the conviction to resist Maya's allurements. Like the chakora, like the chatak, like the swan, we can accept no substitutes, no alternatives. Even though we may be filled with ego, envy, lust, greed, pride, and anger, we see it every day. Why should we be proud? Why should we advertise our glories? We know who we are. But we want to overcome these. There's only one way to overcome these anarthas: to associate with pure devotees, to serve pure devotees, those who are completely pure and those who are striving for perfection. And by that association, we will gradually also strive for perfection. When we meet with this common interest.
Krishna
showers down his infinite mercy upon us to clean our hearts and to fulfill our innermost desires as we chant his holy names. O Gadadhar, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your lotus feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this spirit, with great enthusiasm and a deep longing in our heart for spiritual purity, let us loudly chant the holy names in Sankirtan.